you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point. If you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to you all. This is G. Craig Lewis here with another True Church Perspective. And please, when you get a chance, visit us on the web. That's exministries.com or true-church.org. You can find a lot of information on the things that we discuss on this broadcast. You can even download free copies of this broadcast so you can pass it on to your friends or put it in your iPod, whatever you want to do. We do believe that God has chosen this particular time as an opportunity to speak to his people. And we want to give you the truth, uncut, unedited, no matter who it offends. We believe that the truth is very necessary and we don't want to hide truth from you. And so we've been dealing with the Laodicean era of the church, and we've dealt with it extensively. We're going to keep dealing with it this week. There are some other things that we want to deal with. One of the aspects of it is that this city of Laodicea, as the Bible speaks of in Revelations 3, this city, as we spoke in the other broadcast, had water being piped through the city, and this water had to remain a certain temperature for it to be useful. If the water became the temperature of the earth or the world, it was useless and it would carry contaminants. And we talked about that earlier. But, you know, I've listened to some other messages and sermons on this. And a lot of times it seems men take this passage when it talks about being lukewarm. They take it as, you know, you're not being on fire for the Lord, but you're lukewarm. God says he'd rather have you hot or cold. He wants you hot for him, and he wants you on fire for him, and he wants you to be a little spiritual fireball. Well, that is not what this scripture is talking about. This scripture, because it's talking about the water and the water being useless if it was lukewarm, it's really talking about being useless if we are the temperature of the world. So what it's basically saying is that no matter how large your church is, no matter how powerful you think your ministry is, if your ministry is infiltrated by the world and if your ministry caters to the world, then it is useless unto God. Why? Because God wants us out of the world. He said, be in the world, but not of the world. And that's what we have now. We have a lot of churches that are of the world. How do you know when your church is of the world? Because your pastor, he's in the pulpit using profanity, your youth groups bumping and grinding, calling it, you know, gospel hip hop or Christian booty shaking or whatever they're calling it. You know when it's the temperature of the world because you're able to get the same feeling in your church that you used to get when you were in the club. But we have all of this stuff going on. These are people who have become lukewarm. Their effectiveness is gone. We spoke about that last week, the people being effective for God. And let's get a good understanding of what that is. God is saying, hey, if you're not presenting me as God, if you're not presenting me as the only God, if you're not presenting me as a God that can change you, then you are lukewarm and you are useless to the kingdom of God. So it's not just about getting folks to come to the altar and just say, you know, I'm sorry. And then they go back to the same things they're in. No, God is wanting people to change. He's wanting change to happen and occur. He's wanting people to line up with his word and do the things that he has commanded. Let's go back to Revelations 3. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So basically what he's saying is, because you're carrying contaminants, because you're like the world, I'm going to spew you out. Now, what does it mean, like the world? Well, we know the world, there are many, many gods in the world. There are people who seek after their own flesh. There are people who seek after self. There are people who seek their own self gratification in the world. They don't know Jesus. And these are the people that are of the world. Now, some of them claim to know Jesus, but the Bible tells us that we know when they really know him by the fruits that they bear. And it also says that they went out with us, but they didn't stay with us. And because they didn't stay with us, we know that they were never with us from the beginning. And in that scripture, it's basically saying you can always tell when a person really knows Christ, because those that are that know Christ will stay with Christ. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. And I know a lot of folks have the once saved, always saved mentality or whatever. And you can, you know, if that's what you want to believe, you believe that. But the scriptures does not back that up. You know, it is so funny if you do your research on the once saved, always saved doctrine. And, you know, that philosophy really came from slave owners that wanted to take the word of God and began to pervert it so that it would include their unfair treatment of their slaves. So it really came from slave masters that would abuse their slaves and rape them and do different things. And yet they still wanted to be Christians. So they took the gospel and they fixed it so that it would be inclusive of them, even though they were being inhumane or treating someone in a perverted fashion. So that's where that came from. And it's funny how now, you know, we get a lot of people that preach once saved, always saved. But the minute you say, well, that would mean that those slave masters that were beating and raping the slaves, they're saved, right? And then they get quiet. Well, yeah, if they were once saved when they were little, then as they beat the blacks and treated and mistreated us as a people and hurt us and raped us and all of that, they're still Christians if they were once saved, right? Well, see, when you put that spin on it, then people are starting to question it now. They're like, well, you know, no, we don't have to question anything. All we have to do is go to the scripture where the scripture said Jesus blotted out names, where he said, everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter in. Then he said, some will come and say, hey, I cast out devils in your name. So those are preachers. Now, you're going to tell me that those preachers that got saved when they was young, why didn't Jesus let them in? He said, depart from me. I never knew you, because the scripture said that they went out with us and they were with us. But then they left us and didn't stay with us. Because they left, they were never really with us. Come on, people. Let's get these fundamentals in our system so we can understand what thus saith the Lord. And what we have to realize, you know, last week, as we were dealing with the Laodicean era, and I was making a comparison about how money does not mean that you are blessed. I said atheists have money, and I, you know, said homosexuals have money. And then I said Freemasons have money, and boy, the Freemasons start calling the station and looking for me, I guess. But you know, the thing that gets me about Freemasons, we have a lot of preachers that are a part of Freemasonry, and they've taken the oaths and they've done all these things. And the scripture specifically tells us you cannot serve two masters, yet they've taken oaths unto other gods. They've performed rituals unto other gods. The whole organization is demonic and satanic. When you get to certain degrees in here, you have to pledge Lucifer as God. Lucifer is the God of Freemasonry. And yet we have a lot of preachers that are in it. Why are they in it? Because by association, they can have upward mobility. So basically, it's an insecure man who needs the opinion of other men, or he needs the positioning of other men to make him feel like a man. And that is not a part of what Christianity is all about, because God is the one that validates us, the true and living God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. When Satan offered Jesus the world and offered him everything, said, I'll give you all these kingdoms, he was testing Jesus's esteem. Jesus didn't need Satan's gifts. He said, basically, no, I don't want all that. Get behind me, Satan. Forget about you. Because he knew all of this belongs to my Father anyway. And because it belongs to my Father, it essentially belongs to me. So your day will come, Lucifer or Satan, when you will be cast down. So he didn't have to accept anything from the devil to know who he was. And that is what Freemasonry does. It makes men feel like they are something. It lifts them up to a higher level of humanness. I talk about it extensively in our video, The Curse of the Culture, The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 4. And we dealt with it. You know, the reasons why you can't be a Freemason and be a Christian at the same time, because you cannot serve two masters. You can't take an oath unto Baphomet and wear the 5-point star, the upside down pentagram. You can't have the protractor of Osiris, which is on all their cars and rings and stuff. You cannot have these idols and false god trinkets and then consider yourself a Christian. God says that you cannot serve two masters. The book of Jude, the 17th verse of Jude says, you, beloved, wrought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of the Lord Jesus, that they were saying to you, in the last time there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Is talking about the Holy Spirit there. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about these worldly leaders that have crept into the church. He's saying that they will be mockers. He's saying that they will follow after their own ungodly lust. Who are they? That's these pastors that are part of fraternities. I mean, they've taken the pledges. They go to the parties. They've taken the brands. They get the tattoos. They do all of the dancing rituals of the fraternities. They're in Freemasonry. They've joined these secret societies and these organizations and taken pledges and oaths unto other gods, unto false gods. That means they are mocking the true and living God, yet they stand up in their church, in some cases in front of thousands, and they proclaim the Bible, but their lifestyle professes another God. They have other gods. I mean, there are churches right even in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we are. And you know, these churches have pastors who are a part of these fraternities and who are part of the of Freemasonry. And yet they claim to know Jesus. Come on. Now the Bible specifically says you cannot serve two masters. Judges 2:17. And ye that would not hearken unto judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not obey. And that is what the scripture is saying. You cannot go whoring after other gods. The Laodiceans, because of the money, and this, you know, this usually happens when there's a lot of money or fame in the picture, people begin to go after the things that validate famous people or validate people with money, and those are false gods. They want to get in societies where, you know, you hear about high society all the time. They want to be surrounded by men and women that are like them and have the money and the prestige. So this is where these other gods come in. You know, back when I was in school up at the University of North Texas, you know, as soon as I hit the campus, we began working. We wanted to form organizations and we really wanted to help the black community. And in the school, we wanted to unite them and really, you know, impart some things in them. And as we began began to do this. We began to have sleepovers for, you know, some homeless children, or we wanted to bring in entertainers to have programs for the kids and raise money. And we just wanted to do a lot of different things. Well, we were bombarded by fraternities trying to get us to pledge. It was me and another guy with me, my roommate. And they just, I mean, they would like just call us. They would come by, look, man, we need you in our organization. I was like, why? Because you guys are doing so much on the campus and y'all are doing it, man. And I'm telling you, if you unite with our organization, I'm telling you, man, you can get the sorority girls and they'll come in this. And we was like, well, no, we'll pass. And as we begin to do these projects and different things, they begin to put more and more pressure on us. Come to find out, the reason why is they wanted the credit. These organizations wanted the credit for the work that we were doing. But we refused to give an organization where men get whipped and spanked and have to go to parties and have strange sex and wild parties and filth and lust and all of this foolishness that will go on in these fraternities. We refused to be a part of that and be doing something for Christ. And the minute we say, no, man, we're Christians. We can't get in your fraternity. We ain't gonna be partying and getting drunk and sleeping around all that. Oh, we're Christians too. And that's when I found out that most fraternities and sororities are nothing but, you know, leeways into Freemasonry and the Eastern Star. And so I was like, man, we're not going to give credit to Lucifer, to the God of Baphomet. We're not going to give credit to your organization for the work we're doing for the Lord. This is for Jesus Christ, and he stands alone. We can't serve two masters. That was back in college, and I still stand on that today. I cannot lend the credit for what I'm doing to the world, because Jesus Christ has to get all the credit. And that's why this scripture came in Revelations right after that. He says, you're saying that you're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, but you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. See, now this is that same scripture we've been talking about, but here's another spin on it. He's saying, I want the credit. So you get it from me. That is what God is saying. You need to get your recognition, your money, everything you desire. You need to get it from me, because I want the credit for it. This is why Lucifer tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He tempted Jesus with everything Jesus was already going to get. Remember, he told him, he said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you this, all the kingdoms of the world. Why don't you cast yourself down and let the angels come and get you? He was tempting Jesus because he wanted Jesus to act on his words so that he could take credit for what Jesus received. So basically, he said, I'll give you all these governments and kingdoms if you bow down to me. Jesus said, get behind me. And I know Jesus was thinking, because my day is going to come when I'm going to get all of this anyway, and God will get the credit and not you. And that was the whole point. Why would Satan tempt Jesus with everything that Jesus was already going to get? Well, it's because Lucifer, Satan, wanted the credit so he can say, I gave him this. This one belongs to me. And that's where we are right now, people of God. I'm telling you, before you join a church, before you sit in that pew, before you bring your family under the subjection of that leader, you need to find out, is this leader a part of the demonic fraternity of brethren called Freemasonry? You need to do your research on Freemasonry. You need to do your research on Alpha Phi Alpha and Phi Beta Sigma and all of these different fraternities. You need to do your research, because there is no way you can sit under a holy man of God and he be a part of those organizations. They're going to taint him. I guarantee it. And this is what God was trying to tell the Laodiceans. Come on now. This is what he's saying. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be tainted with the world. But the way a lot of us get tainted with the world is because we put ourselves under leadership that is a part of worldly alliances, leadership that is serving two masters. If you go on the internet, go to Google, type in Freemasonry, type in the history, get an understanding of what it is, and you'll understand that there is no way that anyone that pledges themselves to Baphomet, anyone pledges themselves to Lucifer, anyone pledges themselves to these organizations and go through all of these demonic rituals, there is no way that they can be in Christ and of the world. That's why he said, you live in the world, but don't let the world live in you. This is scripture, people of God. Do not fall for the lie. There is no way. I don't care how big their church is. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what kind of car they drive. If they are serving two masters or trying to serve two masters, it will affect you because they're going to indoctrinate you with the same worldliness that is in them. I tell people, you pray and ask God. That's all you have to do. If you trust that God will not withhold any good thing from you, like he said in the scripture, all you have to do is get on your knees and say, Father God, is G. Craig Lewis, is what he's saying really the truth? Father God, is this message really real? Father God, is my pastor a part of one of these organizations? And is it affecting me and my family? The Holy Ghost will turn a light on for you. That's why I can honestly say, don't just trust what I'm saying, but you go get the word for yourself. You go talk to Jesus for yourself. You get it for yourself because it's so important that you protect what is yours. That's your family. I'm not talking about your car and your house. I'm talking about your family, your offspring, those children in that home. You have to shield their hearts from evil and wicked men. And that is why even in this day we have so much scandal in the body of Christ, because men have become lukewarm, ineffective for God. You have a bunch of folks coming to hear about Jesus, but you have a lot of people coming that won't take Jesus home. And that is what we have now in our churches, because the leaders, these men, are beginning to go after the gods of old, and they're bringing this back in to the church. And that is why the scripture tells us that they will be mockers and follow after their own ungodly lust. I love this part right here in 3:18, what he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And this is where we are now. We need to repent. If you go after other gods, listen, some of you may have pledged in fraternities and sororities and you saw what was going on, and you know the things that went on do not line up with scripture. Stop defending that sorority. Stop defending that fraternity. Stop defending those things. They won't defend you. They want to indoctrinate you with the doctrine of false god worship. Stop it. You know better. It's deep down within you, but many of you hear the voice of God even when you participate in those activities, and you know you cannot serve two masters. You can't make that holy. You can't make that righteous. You can't take an organization that recognizes other gods and somehow make that a godly organization. Understand what the scripture said. God said, no man can come to me unless he first believe that I am who I say I am. Who does God say he is? The only God. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. So if you're taking pledges, if you're taking oaths, if you're performing rituals unto other gods, unto other idols, unto other things, then the God of all gods, Jehovah God, cannot be your God. He must be the only God you serve. It is so plain here in the scripture. It makes so much sense. You cannot serve two masters. Let me tell you, I have a lot of people that I talk to, and they have problems praying and they have problems reading the Bible. Those of you that have problems reading the Bible, and that means when you're reading the Bible, a lot of times as you're reading, your mind begins to wonder. Every time you pick the Bible up, your mind wonders. You begin to think about all kinds of things and places you're going to go, people you're going to meet, and what you're going to do tomorrow, and how you're going to pay this bill. And all these thoughts begin to come in your head whenever you sit down with the word, and it's like you'll read a chapter and then you have to go back and reread that chapter because you can't remember anything you read. I can almost guarantee you that there is another God working in your life. There is something that you are doing. There is somewhere that you are going. There is maybe somebody that you've placed yourself under. leader that has a false god in their life, and that god is causing a distraction. So because the Bible says you cannot serve two masters, it didn't say you wouldn't try. It didn't say that it's hard to do it. It said you cannot. That means when you've given yourself over to another god, it may even be, as I talk about in my videos, it's maybe linked to the music you're listening to. Because if the singer or the performer or the writer of that song is going after other gods, if they're singing about other gods, if they're praying to other gods, then it's going to come through the music. Just like if it was praise and worship and the power of God, we feel like that it is ushered in through music. If their music is talking about false gods, they're going to usher in a false god. It may be the music and the artist you're listening to, but other gods cause you to not be able to focus on reading the word. Your mind will wander. That is one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ. And then the other one is praying, getting down and really praying. I mean, a prayer language, talking to God like he can hear you and really believing, not just now I lay me down to sleep every night, but really, really praying. A lot of times that's impossible when you have other gods in your life. Some of you have pledged in these fraternities and sororities, and some of you have, you know, gotten branded and tattooed, and some of you have got pierced in strange places. All these things are rituals unto other gods. And this is why God gave them the commands in the Old Testament not to go after certain things. Listen, beloved. Listen, mother, father. Listen, son or daughter. We have to get other gods out of our lives. The Laodicean church, because they were lukewarm, they merged with the world. They became the world's temperature, and the world serves mammon. That's why God said, be in the world, but not of the world, which means don't let the world be in you. If you want to receive from God, if you want to experience the power of God, then you have to come out of the world. Let me pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I believe that this message, Father, is a calling unto your people to come out of the world and get the world out of them, Father. Even though we may live in it, it does not have to live in us. And Father, I pray right now that this message will touch someone's heart, someone that has been struggling in the position they're in, someone that's been struggling even in the church that they're in. They see things going on. They see that the pastor is a part of these organizations, and they see it manifesting. They see that the worldliness has crept in. They see that there is no true victory in anyone. There's no true deliverance happening. People are coming maybe to the altar, but people aren't maintaining, and they aren't staying, and they aren't really getting delivered, but they're staying bound. Father God, help us, Lord. Help these parents, and help these that husband and that wife to stay together. And Father God, let them recognize that the leadership has been tainted, and it is affecting their homes, and it's affecting their marriage. It's affecting, because whatever's on the head is getting on the body, and whatever's going on in the pastor's house is going on in God's house. And Father, we believe right now that you're sending a word so people can wake up, God, so they won't be deceived any longer. Open their eyes, God. Let them see the error of their ways. God, I pray right now with your authority that, Father God, you would forgive us as we repent before you. Father, for going after the things of the world. Father, for going after the gods of this world. For being tempted, Father God, to do the things that are unseemly in your sight. Father God, I pray right now that you will bring your people back to a position where we recognize you as the only God again. Father, that we get all of these things out of our lives that make us special in the earth. All of these things that validate our flesh. All of these organizations and fraternities, sororities, and Freemason. All these things that make us great in man's eyes. Father God, we know that we deceive ourselves if we think we're something and we're really nothing in your eyes. God, we want to be something in your eyes. And we know that we gain that favor from you when we obey you and walk according to your truth. So, Father, I pray right now with the authority you've given me that every ear that hears this, Father, you will implant this message and this word in their hearts. Father God, in Jesus' name. We will be back next week at 9:30 a.m. for another True Church Perspective.
Thank you for joining us for a True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Join us here each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can also visit us online at true-church.org.